Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. I got Evan on the board in there, lightly screening your calls. Fancy Brian off being romantic. I guess it's Mrs. Fancy Brian's birthday, so they snuck away. That's great. How romantic.
Good for them.
Good for them.
You know what? We got a stack Monday, man. We're going to get to work without them. So Fancy will be back tomorrow, I suspect. Dom's back today. He's on at 5 o'clock, as he should be. And we've got a stacked show. I've got Pat Kreitlow from the Up North News. He joins at 3:50 today. New feature, daily feature, coming from Pat Kreitlow. We'll tell you all about it at 3:50. Also, Rick Smith, the Rick Smith Show. And you may say to yourself, who's Rick Smith? And what is this Rick Smith Show you talk about, Crudy? Well, Rick's joining us in the 4 o'clock hour at 4:30 today. And Rick and I are going to talk about his union-centric show. A guy out of Pennsylvania has been doing this union show. And we are going to provide a platform for him here in the state of Wisconsin starting today. So we're very excited. The Rick Smith Show goes live here in Madison and on the Shaw. So 92.7 and the 540 AM and the 101 FM signals, 8 to 10 AM. And that means locally here on our little radio world headquarters and other satellites, we're doing 16 hours a day of live radio. A lot of that local, but now with more union-centric, the Rick Smith Show will introduce you to Rick at 4:30. The Democratic Party of Wisconsin, the chairman, Ben Wickler. Ben's coming by at the 5 o'clock hour. Let's not forget, it's Election Eve. Election Eve, spring Election Eve. Sort of a less exciting election, less sexy, but no less important. Ben Wickler, going to help us get you out to vote tomorrow's election day. If you didn't know, Dom will join at the same 5:05 Central. So big show, lots of people. That's pretty good for a Monday. Normally I kind of, you know, mail it in on a Monday. Big weekends, you know, hard to catch up and all that kind of stuff. Also got some other big shows going to tell you about, you know, just linger for a moment here. Dr. Jillian Bettino. Now, she's been on this show before, but Dr. Bettino has switched lanes. She was running for the U.S. Senate, and that is a crowded lane here in the state of Wisconsin. Lots of people want to beat the champ. The champ is currently U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, and he is vulnerable. He needs to be beaten if the Democrats want to have any sort of electoral advantage on the Senate side. But Dr. Bettino saw this crowded field, and she is, I would say, a very talented first-time candidate. Brings some resume and some unique resume to the table. Dr. Jillian Bettino will join me here in studio on Wednesday. And then amongst the senatorial candidates, we got two of the bigger, Alex Lazary. And he's been getting some union endorsements this week. Alex is joining on Friday, as is current Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. Both of those gentlemen running for the U.S. Senate from the state of Wisconsin. Not the only ones, but two of the better regarded ones and currently topping the polling. Mandela Barnes at 5:05, Alex Lazary 4:05. Alex coming in studio here in Madison, the new world headquarters. So, you know, doing a little booking. That's better than I do most weeks. You know, and it's just Monday, so it's going to get better. Anyways, welcome to the big show. Wanted to lead with what the President of the United States had to say about Pootie Poot. And he is now calling him a war criminal. And I don't think it's the first time, but Biden, again, is saying the specific actions in Bucha, the Bucha region of Ukraine, and the killings there are a war crime. Now, I'm going to read the reporting of Morgan Chalfant at thehill.com. And then we've got some sound here as well, Evan, so be ready with that. President Biden on Monday said he believes Russia committed war crimes in the Ukrainian city of Bucha, hope I'm saying that right, and pledged to impose further sanctions on Moscow. Biden also called for Russian President Vladimir Putin to face war crimes, a trial for acts of violence Russia has committed in Ukraine. Now, I believe we've got the sound. I don't need to read from the president. Here he is, Joe Biden, earlier today, in regards to Ukraine and Putin. Let's start with cut number 10, if you would. Play it for the people, Evan.
We have to gather the information. We have to continue to provide Ukraine with the weapons they need to continue the fight. And we have to gather all the detail so this can be an actual, have a war crime trial.
Looking for an actual war crime trial. More from President Biden on Putin. Cut 11, please.
This guy is brutal. And what's happening in Bucha is outrageous. And everyone's seen it.
And everyone is seeing it. Yes, the world community is seeing it. Cut 12, President Joe Biden, again, calling Putin a war criminal.
You may remember I got criticized for calling Putin a war criminal. Well, the truth of the matter, to show what happened in Bucha, this warrants him, he is a war criminal.
Now, Biden did go on to say that they hope to add additional sanctions. I see the Department of Justice seized an oligarch yacht. So they've started to take action. But more sanctions, according to President Biden. Cut 13, please.
I'm going to continue to add sanctions.
More sanctions. See, I promised you more sanctions. They're getting more sanctions. So that's obviously one of the big stories. You know, I don't want to sit here and describe atrocities of war. I don't know how we, you know, sort of argue this point. I don't think there's a point to argue here. And, you know, devil's advocates, we like to, you know, offer differing points of view. Other than a few, there are very few out there defending Putin. But I'm not playing any Tucker Carlson sound. So, you know, that will be all in regards to that. There are other big stories of the day. Ketanji Brown Jackson, well, the Supreme Court nominee of Joe Biden, she's up for a vote. She's coming up for a vote. And, you know, a little trouble with someone's plane being delayed. One of the Judiciary Committee members. And I don't know if you know, but she's only going to make it out of committee by the skin of her teeth. So you need all the members. The Democrats certainly need all the members. So if even a single Democrat's, you know, delayed at the airport, misses a flight, well, they're not going to bring that Judiciary Committee hearing vote, not until they got the votes. But there have been some very public comments being made. They're debating this topic, you know, whether to advance the nomination, Ketanji Brown Jackson. And Chuck Grassley said some idiotic things. I think he often does. Let's start with the senior senator, at least from the Democratic side, Patrick Leahy, a long-serving, the venerable Leahy, on Jackson. Here's his message to Republicans. Cut number 20, please.
Members who unfortunately cared more about seeing their sound bites on social media field than on seriously and respectfully question the nominees. Members who badgered Judge Jackson refused to let her answer questions, even refused to respect basic rules and decorum of the committee and the Senate.
Let's come back with Lindsey Graham, but I want to skip ahead. Evan, pay attention. Cut number 30, Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois, again, one of the ranking Dems on the committee, talking that no senator disagrees about her qualifications. KBJ, I think they've taken to calling her. Cut 30.
We don't agree on much in the Senate, but not one senator on this committee has questioned that she is well qualified.
Well, give it time. 31, Senator Durbin. Again, look at Jackson from a historic view. Cut 31.
This committee's action today is nothing less than making history. I'm honored to be part of it. I will strongly and proudly support Judge Jackson's nomination.
Well, that's good to know. What about Senator Lindsey Graham? I do declare, what do you think Lindsey's up to these days? Well, Lindsey did vote to put Judge Graham, to put Judge Jackson on the federal courts. So he has supported her nomination prior. But Lindsey took a differing attitude today, made a few statements. I got an article accompanying here, but let's start with a little bit of I do declare. Senator Lindsey Graham, cut number 25, please.
Now that you're talking about the Supreme Court, you're making policy, not just bound by it.
A little bit more from Graham, cut number 26, if you would.
And a lot of my friends on the other side have done this, voted for a person at the district court level, the circuit court level, only to vote no at the Supreme Court level.
I'm not really clear that a lot of Democrats have ever done that. Something else that Lindsey Graham said today, if the GOP controlled that chamber, if they controlled the Judiciary Committee, which they will, if they win back the deliberatory U.S. Senate in the fall midterms, well, Lindsey Graham said today, if the GOP controlled the Senate, Ketanji Brown Jackson wouldn't get a hearing. I quote from the Daily Beast, Senator Lindsey Graham said the quiet part out loud on Monday when he declared that President Joe Biden's Supreme Court nominee wouldn't get a hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee if Republicans held the majority. Prior to the committee's vote to advance the nomination of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, Graham explained why he is now against her nomination, despite previously voting to confirm her to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. Now that you're talking about the Supreme Court, you're making policy, not just bound by it, he said, adding that Jackson is an activist to the core who's been embraced by the most radical people in the Democratic movement. He also groused yet again about her supposedly lenient sentencing in child porn cases, largely refuted as a GOP talking point that's been negatively received by the public. He then concluded with the warning, if we get back the Senate and we were in charge of this body in this judicial opening, we will take in our colleagues on the other side. But if we are in charge, she would not have been here before this committee. We would have had somebody more moderate than this. Yeah, no, you know what, Sherlock? Hell, Merrick Garland never did get a hearing, did he? It's the Monday edition. Devil's Advocates. Let's get her started.